Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Spiritually, vulnerably me. Spiritually, vulnerably me. That's kind of hard to say. And it's kind of hard to do. And so that's why I want to talk about it. I am live from Fort Myers, Florida today. The sky is finally blue and sunny. We've been here for 4 days and it's been cold and rainy. But it's amazing when you are with your true, true friends, how you can have fun just sitting inside on a gray day and just laughing your guts out. It's awesome. And it's spiritually good for you. And, you know, so I pose a topic to my friends about spiritualism and also vulnerability. And it's so funny. It's so funny because one of my friends is like, oh, I don't like to be vulnerable, you know. And she also, you know, when I said to her, I said, what do you do? I know when I have a crisis, where do I go? In my mind, I go straight to God and I start praying. And I'm always curious for people who either don't believe in God or atheists, what do they do with that energy? And how do they, you know, deal with it? And it's for her, I think it's more black and white. But then she got vulnerable with me and she told me that she actually goes to a little prayer table. She doesn't pray necessarily, but her parents' ashes are there next to her bedside, and that's her go-to. And so I just thought it was so interesting to see all of us who've been friends since we were 14 years old, and so that's a long friendship, people. And what I'm, you know, aware of is how different we all are, and yet we're all the same in a lot of ways. And one of the things that I noticed in common is that, and especially with women, I think, that vulnerability is tended to look as a weakness. And to me, I like being vulnerable to a point, I should say. I say that in one breath. Like when I'm on stage, I love to let people in and see me for who I am. And like, granted, they don't see everything about me, but I do keep everything kind of open. And what you see is what you get. I wear my heart out of my sleeve. And there's other people who believe that doing that is almost like a weakness or letting people in and it's not a safe environment. But I find it so relieving when somebody finally just, I don't want to say breaks down and cries, but really, you know, when you say, how you doing today? And they're like, fine. And they're like, great. But you really don't know anything about that person then. Fine. Are they really fine? And I'm not saying you have to go in and be like, you know, laying out all your problems and every fear and all that. But when you show someone vulnerability, I personally think it's a gift to them to see inside of you and to be able to say, I trust you enough with my feelings. And that's what happened to my friend here when we were talking. She got vulnerable and started tearing up talking about her parents' ashes. And she goes, yeah, I don't like doing that. And I said, but as a friend, I appreciated that you did that for me. I appreciated that you showed me that you felt safe enough with your being to let me inside, because she always seems very together, you know, and says things like it is for sure. But sometimes that really deep inner person, we don't always allow the people in our life to see. Why do we protect that? Why do we protect our vulnerability as if it is a weakness? Why do we not all just, like, why not fall apart sometimes? And vulnerable doesn't always mean, by the way, falling apart. Vulnerable is like, what am I really thinking of you? What am I really saying? What do I really feel in my life? And then, you know, allowing others to view it like it's a little window into your heart, you know? You ever have those people in your life, they've been in your life your whole life, but you feel like you don't really know them? And I did have that in my life. And it was a relationship I was in. And I was in it for a long time. And I felt like I didn't know him any better than, I feel like I know the mailman better than you. Because he was afraid to get vulnerable, afraid to open his heart. And it wasn't that necessarily he didn't trust me, it's things in his past or whatever, but there was a wall. So do you have a wall? And why is the wall there? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's not. We all have our boundaries. We all have our baggage. We all have things and reasons for not sharing. But what I like to do today is to talk about, I don't know, really thinking about yourself. So I posed this question to my friends this morning, and I asked one of them, you know, do you like who you are? How do you feel about your spirituality and your vulnerability? And I already told you about my one friend. Well, my other friend said that she does like who she is, and she's a very giving, caretaking kind of person. So her life is, I don't want to say defined by that, but that's what makes her feel good. She loves to get up and cook breakfast and clean and make sure everybody's taken care of. That is something she really enjoys. And if you don't allow her to do it, like this morning where we're staying, my friend said, don't worry about taking the sheets off the bed. I'll do it later. Okay. My other friend just freaked out. That was her way of giving. Actually, she didn't know what to do with herself. She goes, can I at least make the bed? But that was her way. Me, on the other hand, I'm like, eh, sorry. But the point is that's her defining of herself. So looking inside you, when's the last time you got really honest with who you are? I think I know who I believe to be I am, but I think there's a lot more I got to dig into. And different things in your life trigger who you are. More like the real, truthful, honest human being that you are deep down that maybe you don't let anyone see, or you never realized you kind of ticked that way. And why do you tick that way? So when my father died, I went into fix it mode. I went into, because he kind of told me that's what my role was anyway. That when he goes, you know, I'm to take care of the bills and take care of my mom and blah, blah, blah. And when I went into that role, I went over and above and beyond in a very unhealthy way. But that's just who I knew myself to be. So when he died, literally, he died at 11 o'clock at night. I was up at 4 o'clock the next day. Making a huge list, you know, florist, meet with the funeral home, go to the bank, do this, do that, do that. I made a huge list and pretty much had everything done by 7 o'clock in the morning. Yep. Had it all together, wrapped in a tiny little bow and felt like I could breathe. Well, my siblings got up and they were really sad that I didn't have them help me. And my first reaction was, wow, that's not very appreciative. They could have just said thank you. But after 2 years of therapy and grief counseling after my dad died, I realized that I robbed them of an experience. While I went into my, you know, my fix-it mode, my this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to take care of everything, I didn't realize that that's not good for everyone. It was good for me, and it's what I knew to do. So just like my friend who wants to take the sheets off and throw them in the laundry, she had to step back and allow her friend to say, no, I want to do that later, and because it makes me feel good. So what do we do when we look inside of ourselves? What are some of the hardest truths you can learn about yourself? That was a very hard one for me, to just admit that what I thought was caretaking, what I thought was doing right and just like, I'll take care of everything, you know, that isn't always a strong suit. Now, sometimes it comes in super handy, and I'm all about it. But we have to recognize who we are. And what are the things that, you know, when you look inside yourself, what would you like to change? That's always hard for me because I think it changes on a daily basis sometimes, you know. I know for me, I work on trying to be a good listener. And I think that's where vulnerability comes in too, because I think all of us in one way or another, I've done, you know, shows on the topic of listening. And while we're talking, while someone's talking at us, we're already thinking of our response. I've really, really reined that in because you do want to fix their problem or you do want to, you know, just add to the conversation. But what about listening? Just listening. So that's one of the things, like when I look inside myself and when I'm saying examine yourself, when I'm saying, who are you? Isn't it kind of hard? I don't know. It's hard for me. Who am I? And, you know, people say your job doesn't define you. Well, I know my father was a physician. I mean, he did it for how many years? Like 40 some years. How does that not define you in a way? You know, that prestigious, I am a doctor kind of thing. Lifesaver. He was a lifesaver. And when he had to retire, he was really lost. I remember getting phone calls from my mother whispering, saying, your father's driving me crazy. He's cleaning out all the drawers and asking me why I keep the temperature at such and such. She said, I've been doing this job forever. Now that defined her. And now he came in and started questioning the definition of her life. So what defines you? When I was injured and I couldn't play my guitar and I was afraid I couldn't perform, I didn't really know who I was. I was like, what am I when I'm not Jill Jack, the performer? You know, if I have a lot of time on my hands and I don't play and I don't get those endorphins and I don't get that accolades of an audience, you know, applauding. And my husband always jokes that he's going to build a fake audience. And when I walk in the door, he'll play the applause. It's not an ego thing. It's what defines me. So what defines me when I'm not working? Who am I? And how am I relating to, say, the little four-year-old Jill? How have I changed? What do you know about yourself from your childhood? And how much do you carry that forward? So I read this this book, and it talked about picturing your inner child or whatever. And I pictured myself when I was like 3 or 4. I still had bangs back then too, really long hair, even then. And I was trying to figure out who that little girl was. So think back to your earliest memories of your childhood. How did you define yourself within your family? How did they define you? And how much did you carry with you through the rest of your life where you are today? Do you like those definitions? And are they real? Think about that. I mean, are they real? Am I who my parents had defined me to be? My mother always called me the balance beam. Was I really that balanced? Was I really that together as a child? Probably not, but I just happened to be the middle kid. So it made sense, I guess, that she called me the balance beam. But the good thing was, with that label, I was able to have this strength, and I guess that's where the fix-it came in my mind. She called me the balance beam. That means I kept everything balanced. That's a lot to put on someone, but on the other hand, it's better than saying black sheep of the family, because that was the one she called my oldest sister. So my sister, how do you live up to that, you know? I'd rather have balance beam. I'd rather have balance beam. I like to be balanced. So deep down, we go day to day. We wake up every day and we have our to-do list. We have all this. And how much of ourselves are we really in? How much are we working on receiving other people's approvals? You know, when you go to your job, you seek your boss's approval. When you're in a relationship, you seek your, you know, spouse or significant other. As a parent, you look for signs from your children that you're doing a good job. Where in that, in all of that makeup that we live day to day, how much in tune are we with ourselves inside, like really deep inside, compared to the world around us? That's why it's so important for me. I know, even being here at Fort Myers with my friends, you know, I take time and I went off to the side and closed this one little room and did yoga and meditated. You know, I think it's so important to get quiet with ourselves. And I say that all the time because we live in such a, you know, connected world, I guess you could say. But thank God we still have trees and nature, and I'm looking at water right now, and, you know, just those kind of things that make us get quiet, you know? I always wonder how people who live in New York City, where do they go to get quiet? But then you find it. So if you, you know, like when I do yoga and when I pray and all that, you find that space. So as you're going out into your day and you're pleasing people and you're doing things and you're working hard, and I ask that you find that little moment every now and then, like maybe once an hour, to just give yourself a little pat on the back inside, you know, inside your mind, and find that spiritual feeling. It's a calming feeling when you find it, you know? Even as I say, you don't believe in God or the universe or whatever you call it. There's a beautiful space within you that we can all tap into and get quiet and appreciate who we are. So what's your vulnerable hotspots? What is some place that you lock up and not share? You know, are you in a relationship or not in a relationship because of not sharing that? You know, a lot of people hide some of their vulnerabilities when they get married, and you can only keep those buried for so long, and all of a sudden they start seeping out, and the person who married you is like, whoa, you know, who are you? So that's why I say I like to wear my heart on my sleeve. When I met my husband, I say, what you see is what you get, you know? And he did not say that. He's very, very, you know, a very introverted person. While he shows love in, you know, certain ways, he's very introverted, where I'm like verbal. He's not. So what are his vulnerabilities? You know, what keeps him locked up and what opens him up? Well, I think we all, as I said earlier, we all have that feeling if we're safe, we will open up. So I had a friend once who never opened up. She never would. And we went to a retreat, and there was five of us girls at this retreat. And one of the things we had to do was pick photos from like 15 photos. Whatever spoke to you, you grabbed two. And then you had to express why you grabbed them. So, of course, I, being creative, I picked these really, like, interesting and dark and then light and explained why I chose them. And then the woman who was in charge of the, you know, team and watching over us was trying to get us, you know, to talk more about it. And when it came to my friend's turn, the lady asked her why she picked the photos, and she said, well, I don't know. And so the lady was trying to get her to speak more about it. And she said, you know, why don't you express to the ladies how you're feeling? And she said, no, I don't like to do that. And so the lady looked at me and said, how long have you been friends with her? And I said, 30 years. And she said, how does that make you feel when she can't open up to you? I said that she can't trust me. My friend didn't look at it that way. She never saw us that way. But that was her thing. Her vulnerability to her scared her to the point that she couldn't open to people or even the closest to her. So why is vulnerability bad? How can we really be hurt by it? We really can't. It's only in our heads. We can be vulnerable and still feel strong. In fact, the vulnerability that you allow yourself tells you that no matter what anyone says or does, you are still you and you are still protected by you. Nobody can hurt you, as Eleanor Roosevelt said, nobody can hurt you unless you allow them to. So sometimes we get so bottled up. Why not just let it out? That's what I think. Just let it out. Be you. And as scary as it can seem, sometimes there's such freedom to it. There's no facade, you know. And we all, you know, have this gauge or something, you know, that everyone says that on Facebook, you know, people only put the great things that happen. And that's true. There are some people that put a lot of, you know, only happy photos. But I don't think anything's wrong with that. But there are people that put things on there that are truthful about their life. Like, I'm depressed today. And then all of a sudden they're friends. They absolutely send messages. You have 5,000 friends that say, I'm praying for you. That's pretty awesome too, right? So let's say you put a picture up and you're like, you post a picture of like me laying by the pool, sunny, everything's great. Granted, I'll get some likes, whatever. But if I said, I'm in Florida, I am sad, my heart hurts today, people love that. They love to be able to, and I'm not saying depressing things. I'm just saying I opened up and I was truthful. Don't you love to know you're dealing with the truth? Don't you love to know that if you knew that everybody was speaking their truth all the time, we wouldn't have guessing games, we wouldn't have people paranoid. We wouldn't have, you know, that doubt. Because when somebody in front of you isn't speaking your truth, you're almost like afraid to speak your own. So let's talk about, you know, again, the vulnerability and spirituality. They really go hand in hand, I think. And so I am curious, and those that are listening, who don't necessarily believe in God or are atheists, I would love to hear from you if you send me an email, jill@jilljack.com, because I'm always so curious about how people deal with things when they don't have a go-to. God is my go-to. The universe is my go-to. I ask the universe for signs all the time, and they give them to me, whether I want them or not, sometimes. So, as you go out today, start with you. Start a project of getting to know yourself. Write down the things that you like about yourself. We don't do that very often, do we? We talk about other people and how we like them or reasons we admire them. What do you admire about yourself? Be really honest. It's kind of a fun game. For me, I get stuck. And so I have to work really hard to say, what do I admire about myself? Because it seems kind of cocky, but it isn't. You're actually being kind to your soul. You're being kind to your being. I mean, I've been on this planet for 56 years. I've been rough on this body. I've been rough on this mind. So I'm going to make a list of what I like about myself and what I like about my vulnerableness and how I can work at even opening my heart more and not trying to be perfect and sharing with the people that I love and even people that I don't know that well. I don't think anything's wrong with that. So as you go through your day, just make, as you're driving and you're stuck in traffic and you're annoyed, especially if you're by that like Popeye's chicken place. That's the time to make a list about yourself. What do you like about yourself? Like the fact that I'm not getting out and screaming right now. Or, you know, just things like that. I'm patient. I'm kind. And go deeper. So I'll leave you with that. And I want to say thank you so much for continuing to tune in to Dream Big Radio. It's been a lifelong dream for me. And I love to share, and I love getting comments from you. So if you're enjoying my program, please feel free to send an email with all your vulnerable ideas to jill@jilljack.com. You have a great week, and we'll talk next week. Thank you, and take care.